Bending Light, Chapter 7. Have I mentioned that I don't want to do this? Hermione frowned at the cobblestones and then back up at Lavender. Oh, maybe 100 times? Lavender laughed and squeezed Hermione's arm. It's going to be fine. Stop worrying. Hermione exhaled noisily. She was fairly sure it was not going to be fine. It was going to be awkward, uncomfortable, and unsettling. She plucked at her top. She'd had such a hard time deciding what to wear, and was extremely annoyed with herself for caring. She'd initially slipped on her favourite shorts and a pretty blouse, without even thinking about it. But then his face in the bookshop had floated in front of her eyes, and his voice had echoed in her ears. You know, short. She didn't want to be thinking about that all night. So she'd put on some wide-leg trousers and a button-down shirt. But then bloody Lavender had flounced out of her room in a tiny slip of a sundress, and Hermione had felt stuffy and dowdy next to her. So she'd claimed the top was making her too warm, and had gone back and stared at her closet for 5 minutes before she'd thought, fuck it, and donned a very cropped sleeveless top. It went well with the trousers and made her stomach look amazing, and also, fuck him. But now, of course, she was pulling at it, smoothing it so it was a little longer. She forcibly moved her hands away and made herself focus on what Lavender was saying.
So I was really surprised when Theo stopped in and suggested this. I didn't think he'd reach out to me when he's already seeing you a lot, but it was a nice touch. I really do think he's sincere.
Oh, I think Theo is sincere too. I just wonder what he had to bribe his roommate with to get him to come. 2 weeks washing up? Lavender snorted.
Be open-minded!
Aha. Open-minded. I wonder if this is the first time he's sat down to eat with a Muggle-born.
Don't ask him that tonight, Hermione. Please. We're supposed to be building bridges here.
All right, Hermione grumbled, kicking at a rock with her sandaled foot. They were almost to the piazza, and so she made herself straighten up, then tossed her head and threw her shoulders back.
That's the spirit,
Lavender murmured with a giggle in her voice as they entered the square. Hermione's eyes immediately began to scan the charming dining area outside of Theo's restaurant, canopied in strings of twinkle lights with tables covered in checked cloths and lit by flickering candles. It was almost absurdly romantic. Hermione frowned again and shook her head, just as her eye was caught by a flash of platinum, gilded by the last of the evening sun. The boys were sitting at a prime table, placed just so under the branches of a beautiful little tree, and slightly away from the rest. Smart move, Theo. As Hermione watched them, Theo gestured and Draco tilted his head back and laughed at something he was saying. The humour transformed his face, and Hermione almost stopped dead in her tracks. Luckily, at that second, Lavender squealed, "There they are!" and started pulling her by her arm. Lavender wasn't the quietest, and Draco looked up immediately when she called out. There were traces of laughter still in his face, but they drained as he watched their approach. Hermione saw his eyes flick down her body and felt instantly self-conscious, especially when she caught the brief pause when he got to her midsection. But then he looked away and said a quick word to Theo, who turned around and stood up.
"Ladies, we were beginning to despair for you," he said, his smile bright.
"Sorry we're late. Hermione had to change her top 3 times,
Lavender said, and Hermione could have cheerfully stabbed her with a butter knife.
"Oh, well, I like what you've decided on," Theo said with a twinkle in his eye, as he obviously ogled her bare stomach.
Hermione muttered her thanks and suppressed the urge to smooth her top down again. There was a little awkward manoeuvring about where to sit, Hermione quickly trying to decide whether it'd be more uncomfortable to sit next to Malfoy or across from him,
and berating herself for not having thought this through already. Before they all found themselves seated and staring at each other, Hermione across from Draco and next to Theo.
Oh God, now she was going to have to avoid looking at him all night, and try not to touch him under the table. She should have sat next to him. Shit.
So, Theo glanced around the table, here we all are.
Silence met his words for a beat, before Lavender burst out laughing.
Isn't this so strange? She said. I mean, let's just get that out into the open.
Her words seemed to act like a little pressure valve, letting some of the tension out of the atmosphere. Theo laughed along with her, and Hermione murmured a low yes and felt a smile tug at her lips. Even Malfoy's face relaxed as he nodded and lifted a wry shoulder in agreement. Hermione thought she might let Lavender live another day after all.
Well, luckily we have wine for that, Theo said,
pouring each girl a generous glass and topping up Draco's and then his own.
An excellent food. I took the liberty of ordering for the table since I'm very familiar with what's good.
He knocked Hermione's shoulder with his.
I've been told I'm quite managing, but sometimes one has to be.
I didn't say you were managing, Hermione protested, looking at Theo and rubbing her shoulder exaggeratedly. I said it was very neat, how you managed me into riding with you every day to class.
Theo's talent for twisting words is formidable.
Hermione was surprised to hear Draco's voice, and she glanced across the table, where he was leaning back and watching them with a gleam in his eye.
I'm starting to realise that, she murmured,
holding his gaze for a beat and then reaching rather quickly for her glass of wine. She drank a large gulp as Lavender spoke up again.
So, Lavender angled herself towards Draco and crossed her arms. I understand that you were the first to arrive here. Did they tell you anything more than they told us? I mean...
She turned back to Theo and Hermione and spread her hands.
I knew nearly nothing except where I was working, the address of the flat, and that Hermione was already here. The witch who escorted me basically shoved the medallion and an envelope of cash in my hand, said good luck and left.
I wasn't told much more.
Draco shrugged again.
I'm sure you both,
he nodded at Theo and Lavender,
were subjected to the Muggle crash course just before you arrived as well.
Lavender and Theo nodded as Hermione said,
What? Of course. Well, you obviously wouldn't have needed it.
Lavender said with round eyes.
It was all about, like, using Muggle money and what's electricity and how to cook. And there were all these magazines to look through.
She looked at Draco.
Did you have that American instructor? He was so strange.
Yes.
The one word conveyed a world of disdain, and Hermione couldn't help the snort that escaped in response.
Was it that he was American or the prospect of living in the Muggle world?
The words slipped out before she could stop them and pulled an immediate curtain of silence down on the table. Lavender and Theo's faces showed surprise, and Hermione knew her expression was a mixture of chagrin and challenge. Draco looked at her and sniffed once. He swirled his wine in his glass, and then, amazingly, the corner of his mouth curved up, and his eyes actually twinkled.
Both.
His brows flicked up and down, and Hermione felt surprise race through her veins like the wine she had been drinking rather quickly. A laugh burst from her lips, just like the other morning. Theo and Lavender started laughing too, and Draco smiled, the expression again transforming his face. Hermione felt herself relax for the first time that night. Who knew Draco Malfoy was funny?
Sorry, she said a bit gruffly. I'm supposed to be being open-minded.
She cut her eyes to Lavender and wrinkled her nose.
I'm sure you're not the one who's been lacking in that area.
Draco's voice was soft, and Hermione whipped her eyes back to him,
blinking in surprise, but his gaze was cast down to where his long fingers were playing with the stem of his wine glass. She opened her mouth to reply, but just then two waiters arrived with the antipasti, and the table was suddenly noisy with chatter and the movement of plates and glasses. Once the activity settled down and they were all eating, Lavender spoke up again, telling the table that she was thinking of buying a scooter and asking Draco how he liked his motorcycle. From there on, it was almost like a normal dinner between friends, or at least friendly acquaintances. Hermione felt her reserve giving way bit by bit as they chatted through three courses and into the night. She'd known Theo was entertaining, so it was Malfoy who surprised her most. He was not only non-offensive, but actually seemed to be putting himself out to be interested, and even charming at times. His natural reserve and prickliness were, of course, still present, but he was also engaging, and Hermione felt herself responding. Of course, he'd probably been schooled in polite dinner conversation since he was a toddler, so it could all be an act. But at least the night wasn't the excruciating exercise in awkwardness she'd expected it to be. Maybe because they'd managed to avoid all discussion of the war and the dark shadow it had cast over their lives. There seemed to be a tactic understanding that this meeting wasn't for that. The deeper conversations might come later. They were debating whether to have dessert or just order espressos like locals, when Lavender leaned forward with bright eyes and suggested they all go to the disco. Hermione caught a flash of reluctance across Draco's face and felt in solidarity with him. She didn't really want to go either.
"I've never been, but I've heard so much about it," Lavender was saying. "Have either of you gone?"
Draco shook his head.
"Not me, but Theo's a regular."
"It's not like I haunt the place," Theo said, shooting an annoyed look across the table. "But yes."
He turned back to Lavender.
"I've been a few times. It's ace. Outdoor and nothing fancy. Just a DJ and a bar and a dance floor. Some tables and string lights, like these."
He pointed up.
"All kinds of people turn up. Lots of young folk from here and the other villages. Some of the French girls who do seasonal work around here. University students on holiday."
"Sounds brilliant."
Lavender shimmied a little in her seat.
"Let's go. Oh, come on," she said,
noticing Hermione's body language, which she knew was displaying her scepticism. It was one thing to have a cordial dinner with Malfoy, but to dance in front of him, or with him for that matter, she felt her neck and cheeks warm.
"It's just, late," she said feebly,
Lavender already starting to scoff at her words.
"Late? This is Italy. It's what, 10:30?
Lavender looked wildly around.
"People are just finishing dinner."
She was right, and Hermione knew she was right, but she still felt strange. She stole a tiny look at Malfoy to see that he was leaned back in his chair, arms crossed, regarding her with a ghost of his old smirk on his face. Instantly she knew that he knew why she was reluctant, and she felt the heat burn brighter in her cheeks. Theo nudged her again.
"Come on, it will be fun," he said gently. "Open-mindedness?"
His ruggish grin emerged full force as Hermione tried to hold back a smile and did not succeed.
"Fine," she said.
Chancing a direct look at Malfoy, she met his eyes. "And you're supporting this plan too?"
"I don't think we'll burst into flames, Granger,"
he drawled in response, holding her gaze. She remembered her earlier words and half laughed, strangely reluctant to look away. Theo cleared his throat and Hermione jolted back to awareness. "Shite."
"Well, we're going to need that coffee then."
She leaned back and signalled one of the waiters, not missing Draco's eyes dart down to her stomach as she stretched.
maybe lingering a little longer than necessary.
"Oh, quit showing off, you bitch," Lavender said.
"I swear that's not fair, and no, I won't be having dessert tonight." Hermione straightened back up and sent Lavender a friendly, rude hand gesture. Both boys laughed, and it was like a final crack in the ice.
"So how are we going to get there?" Hermione said.
"A table!" Lavender squealed. "Let's grab it!"
She pulled Hermione by the hand to a rustic wooden circle at the edge of the dance floor and threw her bag on it. Hermione followed and sat down in one of the low chairs, ringing it. The disco was almost exactly as Theo had described, just a basic outdoor space with a little shack for a bar, lights strung over a dance floor and a few tables. They were lucky to have gotten this one because the place was crowded. Hermione turned around to say that to Lavender, only to see her back, deeply tanned against her white sundress, as she pulled Theo out into the dancing crowd. Hermione froze. Fucking Lavender.
"Would you like a drink?"
came a voice from over her shoulder.
Yes.
She turned, grateful that Malfoy had come up with a simple solution to the problem of having to sit awkwardly and watch their friends dance.
Thanks.
She glanced at him, then lifted her tiny handbag and began to unzip it.
"Let me give you some lira,
Granger, please. You can get the next round if you must."
She looked up then, and he was almost smiling at her. The rainbow lights from the DJ booth played over his handsome face. She blinked slowly and took a breath.
"I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm being so awkward. I just..."
"Because this is awkward, and you don't have to apologise."
He lifted a shoulder.
"We can't all be stupidly outgoing."
His eyes moved past her to the dance floor, where Theo was swinging Lavender around in some kind of lift, while she laughed with giddy delight, much to the amusement of several other patrons. Hermione saw a visible shudder pass over Draco's face, and she laughed and caught his eye again.
"Thanks," she said,
involuntarily reaching out and laying her fingers on his arm. He looked down at the point of contact, and she felt a little jolt.
"A vodka Coke?" she said, hurriedly removing her hand and putting it in her lap.
He just kept looking at her, so she said,
"My drink order. Coke is the fizzy brown soft drink?"
He tilted his chin down.
"I know, Hermione."
"Okay, okay,"
she waved him off.
"Sorry."
He took a step towards the bar and then looked back at her.
"Stop apologising."
She just shook her head and he turned again and walked away. She swiveled back to the dance floor, looking for Theo and Lavender, who had both moved onto new dance partners. But her eyes kept wandering back to the bar, where Draco stood tall and straight, in his jeans and black t-shirt, his bright hair so distinctive. Would she ever get over seeing him in Muggle clothes, especially such casual ones? Not that he didn't look very good in them. A vision of his waistcoat and rolled sleeves from the other day flitted through her mind, which led to speculation about what he wore when he rode his motorcycle, and then she remembered what he'd looked like under his clothes at the pools. She suddenly realised what she was doing and breathed out heavily, closing her eyes against the images. She'd obviously had too much wine with dinner, and now she was having another drink. Probably not the best idea. She'd need to cut herself off after this. She craned her neck. Maybe Maurizio was here. He could distract her from ridiculous imaginings. She scanned the place but didn't see him, although she did recognise a few of the other waiters from the village. She gave them a quick wave and then turned again to the bar, wondering what was taking Malfoy so long. Ah, that was what. A beautiful girl with long, dark hair was smiling up into his face as she talked and gestured.
Malfoy was half smiling too, and looking down at her with polite interest. He had a drink in each hand and looked like he had been in the middle of turning to come back to the table. The girl grasped his upper arm and went on tiptoe to say something in his ear, and Hermione felt a hot pulse of something. She didn't care to examine what it was, but she knew she didn't like that girl, who didn't seem to notice or care that he had two drinks in his hands. Rude. She kept watching them as Malfoy pulled back and shook his head gently, while the girl made a pouting face and tugged playfully at his shirt. He laughed and gestured with his head towards their table and Hermione, who realised she was glaring at them very fixedly, tried to look away and smooth her face into a more neutral line. But Malfoy had caught her looking, and the girl had also noticed, because she shot Hermione a glare before she tossed her head and walked away. Oh dear. Thanks! Hermione could hear that her voice was overly cheery as she accepted her drink with a wide, fake smile. Malfoy nodded and settled into the seat across from her. Hermione desperately tried to think of something to say, but couldn't, so she turned to the dance floor again and a painful silence settled over the table. Lavender was paired up with one of the waiters from town, and Hermione tried to seem very interested in their gyrations, sucking down practically half her drink in about 3 seconds.
So, this is Muggle dancing?
Hermione spun to see Draco looking out at the activity on the dance floor, his face a bit puzzled. Well, yes, a certain type, she said, eagerly seizing on a topic, any topic. This is an R&B song, so the dance is kind of close. She grimaced as a nearby couple became fairly X-rated in their movements. The faster dancing, like what Lavender and Theo were doing before, is different, from a different era and a different style. That was a disco song, which is why everyone was twirling around. It's mostly from the 70s, whereas this song is current. Draco nodded.
Fascinating.
Do you really think so? Hermione cocked her head. It must seem strange to you. I know wizard dancing seemed very strange to me when I first saw them.
I do. And yes, it seems strange, but I'm trying to learn. What other kinds of Muggle dancing are there?
Well, Hermione turned fully around to face him and put her elbows on the table. There's 80s dancing. That's kind of a style that goes with the type of music that was popular in the 1980s. It's very distinctive. If a song comes on, I'll show you.
Really?
His lips lifted. Or I'll, point it out at least. Hermione slurped the last bit of the second half of her drink.
Does each decade have its own style of dancing?
Draco leaned his elbow on the table and put his chin in his hand, mirroring her. Hermione noticed his drink, which looked the same as hers, was barely touched.
Not necessarily. There's no real distinct style for the 90s, but there are other types. There's ballroom dancing. That's much more formal and like wizarding styles. You won't see it in a place like this. And of course there's slow dancing.
And what's that like?
It's sort of like the slower wizarding forms, but less structured, Hermione said. You basically just put your arms around each other and sway in time to the music. She laughed, remembering a trip to a disco with a Muggle friend. If you like each other, you stand close, and if you aren't sure, you kind of keep your arms stiff. She held her arms out like a zombie and moved back and forth. His smile deepened.
Sounds fairly simple.
Yeah, I find some of this, Hermione waved her hand at the dancers, a bit much.
I don't know.
He looked past her.
It looks fun.
He caught her eye and Hermione felt a prickling of anticipation. But then the music cut out and the tempo slowed.
Oh, she cried, twisting to look at the DJ booth. I love this song. It's from the 80s and a slow song. See how they're all coupling up? See the swaying and the arms? She turned excitedly to Draco. He was smiling again. God, his smile was attractive. She didn't think she'd ever really seen it at school, but she was starting to understand what Lavender had meant. She'd just been blind to him. He opened his mouth and Hermione knew he was going to ask if she wanted to dance, and she knew she was going to say yes. And then maybe the whole world would burst into flame. Or maybe it wouldn't. These thoughts flashed through her mind in the second it took for him to take a breath and raise his brows, but in the next second she was being spun in her seat and pulled up and out of it by Theo. He was laughing and telling her he wasn't going to let her sit there like a lump any longer. She darted a glance over her shoulder and saw Draco look away and take a deep swallow of his drink. Hermione couldn't tell if she was disappointed or relieved, but then Theo was pulling her close, and she gave in to the moment, looping her arms around his neck with a shake of her head and a smile. Theo mouthed the dramatic words to the song in an exaggerated way that made her laugh, and she could smell a heady mix of sweet cologne and sweat. The lights were pretty as they whirled slowly.
"You know the song!" Hermione shouted over the music.
Theo nodded.
"Surprised?"
"Yes."
"I have a few tricks up my sleeve," he said in a low voice,
his smile fading into a more intense look. Hermione felt her pulse speed up the tiniest bit, which surprised her. Thus far she'd noted Theo's attractiveness, but not been attracted to him. Unlike... well, better not to dwell on that. Theo seemed to sense the change in the atmosphere too. He stopped swaying and blinked down at her with a strange expression on his face. They'd almost stopped moving together when the song ended and a new bouncy one struck up, and suddenly Lavender was there to pull Hermione away. Hermione was glad for the interruption, which allowed her to ignore the confused feelings, and she and Lavender danced for a while, eventually letting Theo and some of the waiters join in. Hermione stole a few glances at Draco and saw him watching them, leaning forward in his chair with his elbow on his thigh, the smoke from a cigarette wreathing his face. Hermione thought about going to get him and pulling him into the circle, but couldn't quite picture actually doing it. Although when another slow song came on, she looked at him again, a mad half-idea taking hold in her mind. But he was gone. She felt a distinct stab of disappointment that he'd left, and then a distinct stab of a stronger emotion when she realised that actually he hadn't left at all, but instead was just a few couples over, swaying with the pretty dark-haired girl from the bar. Slag, Hermione thought, and then was immediately appalled at herself. She looked away as the girl laughed up into Draco's face.
"Come on, let's get a drink!"
Lavender suddenly yelled in her ear, a welcome distraction.
"Okay."
Hermione grabbed her hand and led her up to the bar, where they waited for the bartender to finish another order. Hermione leaned over to see what flavours of soft drinks were in the fridge, turning the motion into a stretch. Suddenly, a warm palm slid across her bare lower back, the fingers curling lightly around her waist. She sucked in a little breath and whipped her head around.
"Order me a lager, will you? I'll get the round."
Theo winked at her and let his hand trail off her skin to rest on the bar.
"Hey!"
She slid down and turned around, catching Lavender's avid stare as she did so. Theo had her neatly trapped, and she was reminded of her joke about him managing her. She looked up at him for a moment, then put her palm flat against his chest and pushed. He stepped back with a laugh, pivoted and grabbed Lavender to twirl her in a circle.
"Where's Draco?"
he asked, after he placed a breathless Lavender back against the bar.
"Last I saw, he was dancing,"
Hermione tried for a nonchalant tone as Theo's mouth dropped open.
Dancing?
Yeah, with some girl. Hermione saw Lavender staring at her again, and she shot her a stop-it look when Theo turned to pay for the drinks.
Well, maybe I'll get the flat myself for once,
Theo said, with a double flick of his brows.
No, I don't think so, Lavender spoke up, her eyes now trained on the dance floor. I bet my last galleon he just told her no thanks.
Hermione turned as she spoke and saw the dark-haired girl flouncing away from an amused-looking Malfoy. The girl shot Hermione a very dirty look as she passed by them and pushed out a side door to the patio. Lavender's eyes flew to Hermione's, surprise registering in them. Hermione gave the tiniest shrug.
Anyone else ready to go?
Hermione turned at the sound of Draco's voice.
Are you upsetting the locals? Do we need to get out of here before there's bloodshed?
Theo said with a smirk.
Something like that,
Draco murmured, his eyes flicking to Hermione. That amusement showed in his face again, and she wondered what in the world had happened.
I'm ready to go, her mouth said, surprisingly.
Theo looked between them for a beat.
Well, let's go then.
I want to drive, Lavender called, snatching Theo's car keys out of his pocket and darting for the parking lot.
Does she even know how? Hermione asked, as she and Draco watched Theo run after Lavender.
Who knows? Draco said. But I guess we'll find out.
Chapter 8. Draco didn't know why he'd left an hour early for work, or why his feet had pointed in the opposite direction when he'd gotten to the turn that led to the bookshop, or why he was now walking very definitely in the direction of the cafe. Perhaps he just needed a coffee after the late night. He shook his head and shoved his hands into his pockets. Best not to analyse too much. Arriving at the yellow stucco building, with the polished wood door and gold-lettered sign, he stopped for a moment, giving himself one last chance to move along. His mind travelled back to the night before, her avid face when she had been telling him about the dancing, her wicked smirk when she had made that crack about his Muggle Studies course, the smooth expanse of skin he'd had a hard time keeping his eyes off. He leaned back against the wall and looked up and sighed. If he went in there knowing she was there, and yes, he'd already glimpsed her curly head and graceful movements through the large plate glass window, it would be an admission of sorts, even if only to himself. He could walk away now and stay safe on the one side of imaginary line. Or he could cross it. The thought was already gone as he grasped the door handle and pulled it open.
Buongiorno,
she called at the tinkling of the bell. Her back was to him as she did some intricate thing with a tall glass.
I'll be right with you.
Her Italian was really quite good. Very natural flow, and her accent was decent.
It's nothing, he murmured, stepping up to the bar,
hoping to watch her a bit before she realised it was him. But the instant he spoke, she whipped around and dropped a spoon on the tile floor, the clatter raising heads all around the little bustling space. So much for that plan. Draco raised his brows at her and she reddened. Interesting.
Good morning, she stammered in English.
No, keep up with the Italian.
He leaned against the counter.
It sounds excellent. Your accent is quite good.
She had turned back around.
And not as good as yours.
In Italian again, but with a distinctly petulant tone. He laughed lightly and she threw a look over her shoulder at him.
What would you like?
So many things, Granger. A cappuccino, please.
To go?
For here.
Table? Or bar?
The slight pause before the second option made him seriously consider staying at the bar, just to discomfort her further.
but he'd really rather take the nice table that had just opened near one of the windows, and ostensibly look at the newspaper someone had left behind.
"Table, please."
"I'll bring it right over." He inclined his head and stepped over to the small, sunlit section and dropped into the chair facing the bar. Picking up the discarded copy of La Repubblica, he began skimming the Muggle news, and soon gave up on it. He'd never get used to the static pictures, and besides, there was much more interesting things to look at. She was wearing a skirt today, a calf-length green affair that seemed to wrap around her in some clever way. Her movements at the massive, belching espresso machine were deft and already practiced. Like everything she attempted, she seemed to have mastered the vagaries of espresso making, in all its permutations, a ritual and culture that had largely eluded Draco thus far. He knew you drank it with milk in the morning and plain in the afternoon, but that was about it. He vastly preferred tea anyway. Another small fact to weigh in to the balance of why the fuck he was here this morning. She walked over, a tray with a lightly steaming cup, a biscuit and a glass of water balanced on her hand. He folded a corner of the paper down and looked up. Unexpectedly, a grin spread across her face.
"What?"
he asked, knowing she didn't just have smiles for him. She pushed her lips down, shaking her head once. "Nothing." But her eyes were still twinkling.
"Come on, Granger. Out with it."
He picked up his cup and sipped. The coffee was perfect, hot and rich. "You just look so like a Muggle just then, sitting in a coffee shop reading the paper." He raised his brows and took another sip of his cappuccino. "I guess I'm just having a hard time getting used to it," she sighed. "I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make fun."
"I told you to stop apologising. Do I look offended?"
"Well, yes, but then you sort of always look slightly offended." Draco laughed. He couldn't help it. "Oh, God, there I go again," she wailed. "I'm sorry."
"Don't. Say it."
He reached up and almost touched his index finger against her lips. She froze and stared at him for a second, and he didn't move. He saw colour bloom slowly up her neck to her cheeks. Unfortunately, at that interesting juncture, the bell tinkled on the door. "Duty calls," she said with a distracted look, as she practically jumped away and hurried to the counter. For a while he just sat and drank his coffee, watching from behind his newspaper as she interacted with the wide variety of people who came in, listening to her banter and commiserate and gossip, then send them off with a bit of a cheer. She was very good at it, and he could tell she enjoyed it too. He wondered if she felt the same as he did about their whole situation, living here, working, ignoring the outside world and their grim reality. He realised he wanted to hear her thoughts about it. He realised he may have already gotten in too deep. He sighed and thought again about the night before. She had started stiff and defensive, as had he, although they certainly had different ways of expressing that. He snorted softly and glanced up as she called goodbye to a customer. By the end of the night, at the disco, their conversation about dancing, it had all been like the rest of the room had fallen away, talking with her, a connection zipping between them. He'd wanted to talk more. He'd wanted to dance with her. Fucking Theo. And it wasn't funny that his admirer, what had her name been? Sophia? Had thought he was with her? He crossed his arms and looked out of the window, wondering how he could get back to that place, where they were open. "Penny for your thoughts."
"Hmm?"
He started out of his reverie to find her there, standing beside his table. The cafe seemed to have emptied out, the only customer sitting outside. She glanced around and sat down. "It's a Muggle expression. It just means, what are you thinking?" Draco squinted at her and opened his mouth.
She put her hand up and closed her eyes.
You already know that.
She shook her head. Anyway. He smiled again and she smiled back. Suddenly, inspiration struck.
So, Granger, do you know a lot about Muggle music?
He asked. She frowned.
What? Why, do you?
Oh, her brow smoothed out.
And last night, the dancing?
Draco nodded.
Well, I guess I know a bit. My dad is really keen. He plays electric guitar. You know what that is?
She checked in and he nodded. He knew it was loud, at least.
Well, he has a lot of music in his collection, so I was sort of subjected to it. I probably know less about current popular music than most Muggles my age, though. The Hogwarts experience was not really conductive, you know. Although Dean Thomas and I have compared notes on occasion. Why'd you ask?
She twisted a sugar packet round in her hands and glanced at him keenly.
I'm interested, he said with a shrug. I play, of course.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think it's a prerequisite for all pure-blood mothers of a certain social class to force their children to learn.
She laughed.
Ah, yes, I believe that holds true in both worlds. What do you play?
A wizarding type of piano.
Ah, it's similar in both worlds?
He nodded.
But what I've heard this summer, which is more than I've ever heard before, intrigues me. It's very different. Very expressive. I'd just like to know more.
He shifted.
It's the same with books, but I have ample access to those, obviously. I've been reading a lot.
She was nodding along, her elbow on the table and her chin on top of her closed fist.
That's how I felt when I first learned about Hogwarts and the Wizarding World. I just wanted to know more. Probably why I put everyone off first year quoting Hogwarts a History all over the shop.
She laughed. He laughed with her, then sobered, thinking of how he had treated her first year, and many subsequent years. A cold wash of shame crept over him, and he was struck by how generous it was of her to be even sitting here and talking with him like this, about her world and these subjects.
Hermione,
he ventured. And he could hear the gravity in his voice.
Yes?
She tilted her head, a slight frown on her face.
I'm sorry,
he said quietly. He looked down at the table and then up at her. He saw a realization replacing the frown. He went on before she could speak.
I can't excuse my behavior for the first 5 years of school. Except to say that I was a spoilt, ignorant shit who ate everything my father fed me without question. But last year... And I know you were briefed.
She nodded once, her eyes intent on his.
A lot of last year was me covering, trying to protect my family. But I had already started to doubt, well, more than doubt for myself.
She was silent for several beats as she looked at him. Then,
thank you for telling me, she said with a slight nod.
They sat for a moment, and then she cleared her throat.
So, she said briskly, if you're going to learn about music, we're going to have to find you a way to listen to it.
Are there a lot of different ways to do that?
Oh, yes. CDs, tapes, records, radio, and you'll need a player.
She was tapping her chin and looking off into the distance.
I'll help you find some things.
Excellent. Thank you.
He felt absurdly pleased with himself for hitting an excuse to talking to her.
Now, she said, tell me what you've been reading.
Hermione looked at the clock with a start. She'd been sitting and talking with Draco for 30 minutes, and she hadn't run the dishwasher or prepped for the lunch crowd, which would start appearing in roughly 25 minutes.
Shit,
she murmured. His eyes followed hers to the clock.
Shit,
he echoed, jumping up.
I was supposed to open 5 minutes ago. How much do I owe you for this?
He gestured to the remains of his cappuccino. She waved him off.
Please, I've got it. For the drink last night.
She caught his eye. and for the conversation. He paused in gathering his things and looked back at her.
All right, but only because I'm in a rush.
She waved at him again, and he ducked out of the shop, his hair ruffling in the warm wind that was sweeping through the town that morning. She also stood and watched him go for a bit, before drifting back behind the counter and mechanically taking panini fillings out of the fridge to arrange them for assembly. She'd been so surprised when he'd come in. She was fairly certain she'd mentioned last night that she was working this morning, and she was also fairly certain that he'd never been in before. Had he just wanted to ask her about music? But he didn't need to make a special trip for that, let alone stay and chat. Was he trying to be friends? Her hands stopped their brisk movements, the thought arresting her. And she'd forgotten in all the book and music talk that he'd apologised. She stood and stared at nothing for a moment. Why had he done that? What had changed his mind? She realised she was very much wanting to know. Maybe if they were friends she could find out. The idea appealed. Maybe a little too much. Maybe it was too late to be just friends. She shook her head and brushed away her inner voice impatiently. It was just an attraction. A purely physical attraction. And hadn't she managed to, mostly, hide her attraction and be just friends with Ron for years? Huh. She guessed she was just freely admitting to herself that she was attracted to Draco Malfoy. He'd made her drop a bloody spoon this morning, leaning against the counter all sleepy grey eyes and tousled hair. She snorted softly and forced her hands to get back to work. But what about Theo? Didn't she find him attractive too? She conjured his blue eyes and golden curls. Yes, he was also extremely magnetic. And they had definitely had a moment last night. A couple of moments. And Theo seemed safer somehow, despite his reputation. She shook her head again. How in the world had she ended up in this position, considering the relative merits of two Slytherins, one of whom was Draco Malfoy? It was beyond comprehension, and she had a flash of what she would say to Harry, or Ginny, or, God forbid, Ron, if anything came of this. Maybe nothing ever should. Surely the safest course was to remain friendly and nothing more. Besides, she was almost certain that that was all he could want. He? They? No, she was also almost certain that Theo would be happy to be more than friends. He was more than a friend with a lot of girls in town, if Lavender's sources were anything to go by. God, maybe she should talk to Lavender about this. Maybe Lavender would take one of them off her hands. Maybe she was completely delusional, and no one harboured secret lustful feelings towards her. She laughed out loud at that and lifted a tray of Caprice Panini into the chilled case. Just then the bell tinkled and a group of older men walked in. She looked up brightly and welcomed them, determined to put everything but lunch out of her mind for the time being. As the next few days rolled on, Hermione's friend's theory gained traction. Draco came into the cafe a handful of times and always stayed to chat. They continued to talk about books and music, and he would often come with a question about the Muggle world for her to answer, which would turn into a conversation about how the same thing worked in the Wizarding world, and why and what the connection could be, and usually a, mostly, friendly argument about which culture influenced the other. Hermione never neglected her customers, but she was mightily tempted to a few times. Theo had also started coming in very regularly, ostensibly to talk about their course and to practice the areas of speech the instructor sent them home with after each session, but really to flirt, Hermione thought. He kept it light, and if she gave him the slightest signal to back off, he always did. But there was a current there that hadn't been there before, at the night of the disco. She wasn't sure how she felt about it, but in an idle moment she found herself wishing she could mix her interaction with the two of them. A little more flirting from Draco and a little more substance from Theo. Maybe the two of them together make one perfect sort of boy. She laughed to herself as she set the cafe sign from chiuso to aperto early one morning. She was dusting the bottles on the bar and wondering when she'd ever see Lavender, who'd been out late several nights with one of the waiters they'd danced with at the disco, when the bell tinkled. Her earliest customers were almost always two lorry drivers, who came in to have a chat and a coffee before they started their deliveries for the day. But it was early even for them. She looked up in surprise to see Draco walking in. It was chilly at this time of the morning, and he was dressed for riding, in a close-cut leather jacket with his helmet under his arm. His hair was mussed, and he looked freshly windblown. His hands were gloved in supple black. Now, Hermione had been enjoying Draco, enjoying getting to know his agile mind, trying to get comfortable with the fact that she was drawn to the rest of him too. But she hadn't let herself feel anything like that pure wash of lust that had come over her the day at the pools, before she'd known who he was. "There lies danger," her inner voice would practically shout at her. So she had been keeping a tight rein. But this was too much. And as he stalked with his long stride across the cafe floor to the counter, the lust swept back with a vengeance that destroyed any barrier she feebly tried to erect. Her breath sped. Her hands, which suddenly ached to unzip the jacket, push it off his shoulders and run up under the white t-shirt she could see peeking out underneath, twitched against the counter. She gripped it tightly and forced a strangled buongiorno from her lips, which also ached, to whisper up the column of his throat to his sharp jaw and then his lips. God! She saw a small frown appear between his eyes and mentally shook herself. She must look like she was having a stomach cramp or a minor stroke. She forced a smile. "You're here early?" It came out oddly mechanical and slightly mad at the same time. "Brilliant." He tilted his head and laid his gloved hand on the counter.
"Are you well?"
"Fine, just fine. A slight headache this morning. Probably dehydrated." And now she sounded manic. She forced herself to tone it down, taking a discreet, deep breath, which actually didn't help because it contained a whiff of the clean scent she had come to associate with him, blending with the leather from the jacket. Shit. She wheeled away and started pulling glassware from the counters and levers on machines, not exactly sure what she was doing. "Your usual?"
"Actually, no. May I just have a doppio?"
"Of course." She chanced a quick look over her shoulder. "Still incredibly gorgeous, yes?" "At a table, or are you off?" She inclined her head towards all his gear.
"I'm going. I'll just toss it off quickly."
"Toss one off. Good idea for later."
God, what had come over her?
She forced her brain to heal and turned with a smile. "And where are you going?" She did not look at his throat as he drained the coffee Italian style in one quick swallow.
"Up to the hills. I haven't been past the monastery before, but a chap in the shop was telling me how beautiful it is the further up I go. And it's my day off, so..."
Hermione glanced around the shop and lowered her voice. "But isn't that past the wards?" He looked away.
"Yes, but I'm bringing my wand."
"Draco, I don't want..." A hand went out involuntarily, and she almost touched her fingers to his gloved wrist.
"I'll be fine."
He brought his eyes back to hers.
"It's just... sometimes I feel a bit trapped here, as lovely as it is."
He looked away again, out of the window.
"And I miss flying so much I can taste it."
She sighed, and it struck her that Harry would be the exact same in this situation. She wondered what Draco would think of that if she told him. She also wondered what she would say to Harry if it were him standing here. She'd probably give him a blistering scold, but she found she couldn't quite do that now.
Just be careful, all right?
He looked down at her and his eyes darkened.
I will.
The atmosphere was suddenly charged, and Hermione felt all those physical reactions she had finally gotten under control flare up again. Draco kept her gaze until she could have sworn his eyes dropped to her mouth. She was about to say something. Someone needed to. Or maybe she should just reach up and wrap her palm around the back of his neck, tug him down and see what happened. But in the vague distance she heard the door open and someone start to come in. Draco's eyes cut to the sound and his posture instantly changed, stiffening and loosening at the same time. Hermione ripped her eyes away from him and saw what was unmistakably Theo, his back to them as he pushed through the door, holding a box and sheaf of flowers.
"I've come bearing Vidura for study," he called. "And Fiori for you," he added,
his voice lowered as he turned back to look at the scene.
"Good morning," said Draco,
a funny sort of emphasis to the words. Hermione had the distinct impression that he hadn't seen Theo in the flat the night before. Maybe because Theo reddened slightly and looked annoyed.
"Going somewhere?"
Theo said, a little pointedly.
"Yes."
Draco seemed to recall himself.
"I'm off for a ride, a long one. I won't be back until this evening, I imagine. Will you be out again?"
"Aha!"
"No, I don't have to work tonight," Theo said, his eyes narrowing, then moving between Hermione and Draco, before the corner of his mouth tilted up a little bit.
"Hello, Theo," Hermione thought it was time to inject. "You've bought props for our vegetable market practice."
"Yes."
Theo thumped the box down on the bar.
"A good variety. All the cook asked is that we handle them carefully."
"I think I can do that," Hermione said, smiling at him. He shot back a brilliant grin.
Draco shifted towards the door with a small, impatient movement.
"I'm off," he said. "Thanks for the coffee."
"Of course."
Hermione turned away from Theo and towards Draco.
"And do be careful," she frowned.
His posture softened slightly, and he nodded once before turning towards the door. Hermione watched him, his broad shoulders tapering to his lean waist, and felt the heat flare again. Just as she was about to tear her eyes away and turn her attention back to Theo, Draco turned.
"Don't forget you're coming out with me someday," he said,
his eyes glinting. Dangerous. The word drifted through Hermione's mind like a leaf on a current. He popped his helmet back on his head while she stared dumbly. "What?"
"On the bike," he prompted.
"Oh, right, yes."
She was maybe a little too loud, so she modulated.
"Will do."
He nodded again and was gone. Hermione turned her attention back to Theo, who was lounging against the counter and regarding her with a very speculative squint to his eyes.
"So, vegetables."
Hermione took a noisy breath and narrowed her eyes at him.
"It's very early in the morning for vegetables."
His eyes widened.
"Which is why I was hoping for a coffee and a cornetto first. Can you join me?"
He gestured to a table.
Let me think."
Hermione glanced exaggeratedly around the empty cafe.
"Yes, I believe I can spare a few minutes."
"Excellent."
Theo leaned even more deeply into the counter and turned the full force of his dimple on her. She was caught there for a moment, marvelling at how she could even notice anything about him after what Draco had just done to her, when an extremely loud engine revved outside, and suddenly Draco himself went tearing by,
a blur on his black machine. Hermione glanced at the clock. The neighbours must have loved that. Theo looked over his shoulder and shook his head. Hermione thought she heard him mutter something about a show-off wanker as he lifted his box over to the table near the window. "These are for me." Hermione lifted the bunch of bright flowers Theo had left behind.
"Yes, the stall at the market was just opening as I took the veg from the restaurant. I couldn't resist."
"Thank you. That was very kind of you. I'll just put them in water and make our coffees." Hermione turned away as Theo stretched back in his chair.
"You're very welcome."
He yawned as he spoke, and Hermione had to resist the urge to ask why. If he and Draco had both been up so early, they hadn't seen each other until they arrived here. He'd probably had a late night last night. She wondered with whom. Lavender Sorcerer had placed him with a couple of local girls since he'd arrived, but Hermione didn't put it past him to have other options. She remembered Lavender mentioning the table full of young women he'd been waiting on the other night. He looked out the window and she watched him surreptitiously as she made their cappuccinos. His profile was elegant, and yet that air of ruggishness always seemed to be just outside the frame, even when he was pensive. Probably down to the dimple, or the slight up-tilt to the corners of his mouth. Just then he turned and totally caught her looking. His brows lifted slightly over the clear blue of his irises, and Hermione realised his eyes were what really did it. Warm and expressive, dark fringe with a constant hint of humour in their depths. Crinkles at the corners, and such a striking colour against his tan skin. As they looked at each other, he did a little something with them, and suddenly Hermione was aware that she was being smouldered at. Huh. She bet that was effective. She even felt a little flutter in her heartbeat. "I bet that's effective," she said as she brought the coffees over. "The look." His face was completely guiseless now. "Yeah, blimey." Hermione dropped into the seat across from him.
"And gets me some numbers."
He sniffed and she laughed.
"And did it work on you at all?"
He tilted his head.
"A little, yeah."
Hermione nodded vigorously and took a sip of her coffee.
"I could tell. A little heat here."
He reached over and touched her cheekbone with the tip of his finger.
"And here."
He touched the other, letting his finger slide softly over her face. For the second time that morning, the atmosphere in the little cafe was suddenly fraught. Hermione wondered what she had become, vividly picturing kissing two completely different boys within the space of 20 minutes. But then she shrugged it off. Theo was a flirt, a very good-looking one, and she was 17 years old. It was only natural. Draco, on the other hand. She brushed that thought aside and fixed Theo with a mock severe look.
Now, drink your coffee so we can get to studying before my customers arrive. Or I'll decide that doing this from behind the counter is safer.
The slightest frown crossed his features, puzzling Hermione, before he laughed and pulled an eggplant out of the box.
"Young, beautiful lady," he said, his Italian floridly accent. "What price for this purple garden vegetable?"
"I grew it, so it's priceless. Signore, but for you, 3,000 lira.
She responded with a laugh. Draco woke up in a sweat, his breath coming fast. He propped himself up and wiped his brow, looking at the clock. Just gone 1 in the morning. They were getting earlier and earlier, the nightmares. He flopped back down and stared into the darkness, trying to will away the sickly feeling that lingered with the images from the dream, but couldn't quite succeed. Suddenly he heard a sound, the key turning in the flat door as it opened and then softly shut. Theo must be home from the restaurant. He'd be up for at least an hour winding down his day.
With a swift movement, Draco pushed up out of the bed and grabbed for his trousers. He'd far rather sit up with Theo than lie here shaking. Theo was already pouring whiskey into a second glass as Draco emerged into the sitting room.
"Another bad one?" he asked, as he turned and held it out.
Draco nodded and took it.
"Thanks."
He walked over to the window and looked out at the moonlit square.
"How was your night?"
"Good. A bit boring."
Theo settled into one of the armchairs.
"No tables full of nurses?"
"Unfortunately."
Draco heard a cigarette wick to life.
"How was your ride?"
Theo asked, through an exhalation of smoke.
"It was good, yeah. Very beautiful up there, and the roads get really challenging. Took all my skill in stabilizing charms not to wipe out a couple of times."
Draco took a sip of his whiskey and turned to sit on the window ledge.
"Surprised to see you so early this morning. Julia kick you out again?"
Theo cleared his throat.
"No, she had an early shift."
He coughed lightly.
"Surprised to see you at the cafe at all. I thought you didn't like coffee."
"I'm developing a taste for it."
Theo's snort echoed in the room.
"Clearly."
"And what about you?"
Draco pushed off the ledge and moved to the other chair. He dropped into it and looked at Theo.
"I've never known you to... study."
Theo had been famous in Slytherin House for rarely being seen cracking a book, and yet scoring high marks on all of his essays and exams.
"I study when the subject interests me."
Theo held out a pack of cigarettes, and Draco took it, tapping one out and catching the lighter Theo tossed his way.
"She won't like being one of a lineup," Draco said,
exhaling a long first drag. He knew he shouldn't smoke, but sometimes it was so soothing. Theo was silent for a while.
"She doesn't have to know,"
he finally said, the words seeming to hang in the silent room. Draco felt a surge of anger and he frowned, opening his mouth to respond. But Theo spoke again.
"I mean, I'd stop all that if..."
Draco closed his mouth and the anger abated. A little. He played with Theo's lighter.
"She may already know. You're not the most discreet."
Theo groaned.
"I know. Fuck.
Do you really like her?"
"Do you?"
Theo's eyes flashed through the gloom, and Draco's mouth curled up.
"I asked you first."
"Okay, I'll bite. And yes, as I said before, she's different than I thought she was. Clever, but not rigid. And she's not just clever, she's quick. Fun. I feel stimulated around her."
Draco snickered.
"Fuck you, you know what I mean."
Draco knew exactly what he meant.
"Never known you to keep it in your pants for one girl, though, Theo. Even Daph..."
"Don't say her name. Please."
Theo's voice was suddenly tight.
"All right. Shit, I didn't know that was still a sore spot."
Draco put his hand up as Theo closed his eyes and shook his head. Draco took a drag and exhaled.
"Would have used it more if I had."
Theo gave a sharp bark of laughter.
"Cunt."
Draco shot him a grin through the darkness. They sat quietly, smoking and drinking, as the light from a silvery moon started to creep across the floor. After a while, Theo spoke up again.
"But I'd consider backing off."
He looked over at Draco, his face calculating.
"If you really liked her, I mean."
"Yes." The word rose up in Draco's throat, but when he opened his mouth, it didn't make it past his lips. Instead,
"No need,"
he said, as he pushed up out of his chair.
"Really?"
Theo squinted up at him.
"I told you before, I don't want complications,
Draco said, and it was like he was reminding himself too. He turned to walk back down the hall.
I'm going to attempt to sleep again. Good night.
Night, Theo called,
but Draco never heard him go to bed.